powerful name. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power to heal the sick. There's power to save. Amen? Man, sometimes it's just great to just, we say a lot of stuff, we do a lot of stuff, we use a lot of words, but there's one word that I just think brings everything into focus in life sometimes that I think we just need to rely on sometimes. That's just to cry out, Jesus. Just say, Jesus. Over and over again, just say, Jesus, thank you. Because there's such power, there's such beauty, there's such strength and majesty in the name of Jesus. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, starting in chapter 20 this morning. Title of this morning's message is Worker. And really, this we're looking at a parable here, and I'm going to tell you the title is Worker because this is who I'm addressing. But the parable is really not about the worker. The parable is not really even about the money the worker makes and gets paid. The parable really is about the landowner and how he acts and how he looks. And we'll talk about this in just a little bit, but it's Matthew chapter 20, beginning verse 1. We'll go through 16, then we'll jump down to verses 25 through 28. And it says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard. And whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went again. And he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one's hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' So in the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And then those who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. When they received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These men have only worked 1 hour. And he made them equal to us and have borne the burden of the heat of the day.' But he answered to one of them and said, 'Friend, am I doing you no wrong? Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. If I wish to give this to this last man the same as you, is it not lawful me for to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Jump down to verse 25. "But Jesus called them to himself and said," he's talking to his disciples, "'You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over you, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Holy Spirit, open our hearts, open our minds, help us to receive what you have for us today. Help us to take it and apply it in our lives wherever we need, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Now you can take a look at this story, and this is probably one of those stories, and I don't know if businesses look at it and go, "Hey, we should model our business after the Bible," which many should. But this is probably one of those reasons that most corporations have a policy that you do not discuss the salary you make with somebody else, right? Now, I can remember I worked at Home Depot many, many years ago, and I was hired 1 year at a certain amount, and I was getting a decent, it was okay pay for me. Obviously you always want more money, right? But I was doing okay. They were seeing the work and the labor I was putting in. I was getting bumped up and raises and everything else. But what happened is a couple of years had gone by, and I had been put in a leadership position, and I actually had to hire people. Well, the economy had changed in that time. And one of the things I had to do was hire people making almost the same amount as me. And that was weird. Why did I have to do it? Well, because you weren't going to hire them any less. And the company being a good company and not wanting to spend all their money, they weren't raising me to the level higher fast enough. right, to get me way above where they needed to go. And when people find out what other people make, it makes them mad sometimes, doesn't it? Especially if that person isn't as hard a worker as you think that you are. Notice what I said, they're not as hard a worker as you think you are. Because we're all the hardest working people in the place, right? Yeah, amen. Yeah. And we could be. You may be. And I'm not taking that away from you. You probably are the hardest worker there. God bless you. But we always believe that. We always believe we should be making all the money. I'm smarter than that person. I know more than, you know. And there are times we are probably right. We probably should. All right? Inevitably, and this is not a knock on bosses, but inevitably they put people in charge that really probably shouldn't be sometimes. You know, I experienced that in the military. You know, like I said, sometimes you get these kids right out of college. They think they know everything because they just learned it in the book. They have no idea how it applies in real life, you know. But anyway, side trip. All right. But here we've got this story, this parable of this landowner that goes out looking for people. And this still happens today. This is a real thing. They have day laborers now. I've had friends that worked as day laborers. I've never worked at one. I think there's a place in Gainesville you can actually go. You hang out there. Somebody comes by if you got construction work that's done and stuff like that. They come up and go, hey, who wants to go do this? And if you're available, they take, you know, I need five people. Bang, you jump in the back of the truck, you take off, you go do what you do for the day, and you get paid. It's a good way to earn a little extra money. It's never easy work, all right? All right, because they never come up for a day laborer. Hey, I've got somebody, I just need you to watch a few videos for a day, okay? You just sit down, it'll be air conditioned, I'll pay you a couple $100, you just watch a video. You'll be fine with that. Because everybody would volunteer for that one, wouldn't they? Most of these are the ones, hey, I got some septic tanks that need to be cleaned out. We don't have a truck. I got shovels. Who's in? And you're like, oh, good. So, and that's what it works. Well, the same thing happened back then. They'd meet in one place, and a lot of places, a lot of towns you can go to, believe it or not, it's like the Home Depot or the Lowe's, those places where you go, because a lot of these construction places are using day laborers. They knew where to go meet. They were there. The landowner went and found them and said, hey, it was early in the morning, and the way this day worked back then is for them, 0 hour was 6 a.m. So right before 0 hour, right before the morning, he went out and got a group of people. Then it says the third hour, which is 9 o'clock. He's like, whew, they're moving okay, but we need some more help. And then the same thing at noon, and then 3 o'clock. And then it says in the 11th hour, so it, what we, most of us would call quitting time at 5 o'clock, he went back out and said, wait, there's still daylight left. We still got an hour in the day before the sun goes down. Let me go get the last few people. And he brings them in, which is an amazing thing. But it also brings us to our first point. Number one, it is never too late to join the work. Now, obviously, I'm not sitting here preaching about working in a vineyard or working in a garden or being a day laborer. This is a parable talking about us as believers, us as Christians, and coming to salvation in Jesus Christ. It is never too late to join the work. How about now? Is that better? You know, all right, so we'll start over. No. That's weird. Sometimes a little switch doesn't switch, I guess. But the people aren't looking. So, as I was saying, you don't get a job of sitting on your couch, sitting in your living room. Most of the time, you got to go out and look for it. You got to hunt it down. You got to at least dig in the paper, get online, do something, right? See, and that's the way these workers were. They weren't knocking on doors. They weren't going vineyard to vineyard going, hey, are you guys hiring? But that's the world we live in. That's the world of the people. And then watch it. There we go. Can you hear me? All right. So what is happening for those that are online and those that are here wondering what's going on, the batteries apparently are dead now in my thing because it was working for a second and then it died. So, but anyway, the reward has been determined. All right. And it's more than we deserve. The first people came out. He goes, look, I'm going to give you a denarius. I'm going to give you one day's wage. Will you work for that? And they said, absolutely. So think about this. In the context of the parable, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. This is Jesus saying, look, I have called these people. I have called you from the get-go. Now, for most of the disciples, was their struggle worse than what we suffer? Yeah. Most of them were chased. Most of them were martyred and killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They struggled to share the message of Jesus. They worked the full day, if you will. They went through the heat, the sun, the pressure, the stress. Now, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I know he is, right? I don't know when he is, so I don't know if we've been called here at 9 o'clock or if we're all sitting at 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, or praise the Lord, maybe we're all sitting here at 5:30 right now. I'm hoping it's 5:45 and 6 o'clock is coming soon. Because when 6 o'clock shows up, the day is done. Jesus will call us home, amen? But see, the reward has been determined. We don't deserve it, especially those of us that come late, right? Hey, be honest with you, do we deserve the same just the work that we do we deserve the same work as Peter, the reward? Do we deserve the same reward as Paul and some of these guys? I don't think I do. But see, that's not how God bases things. And I'm glad God doesn't think like me. Things would be a whole lot messed up if he think like I do. Trust me. Because number four, the landowner determines the reward, doesn't he? After all, it's his to give. God has said, here's what you get. Here's the reward. Now, what have we been promised? Well, for us as believers, the one thing we've been promised is eternal life with God. Now, yeah, there's scripture that kind of mentions we'll have some other rewards. You'll get crowns. You'll do these. And we talk about it all the time. And, you know, it must be a Southern thing, too. I don't know. But, you know, you talk about people that deal with annoying people or kids that drive you nuts. Oh, they're just going to get a jewel in their crown, aren't they? Right? Has anybody ever heard that? Or am I the only one? Oh, they're just going to get, you know. I don't know when we get to heaven. I don't know if there's going to be mansions. If Billy Graham's got, like, you know, a 20-acre estate because he was an evangelist, and I'm living in a flat down in New York City. You know, I mean, I don't know how it works. I don't care. I don't care if Jesus goes, here's a cardboard box, have fun. And if I'm living in the alley outside of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem in heaven, I don't care. I'm happy because I'm in the presence of God.
That's my reward, is to be in the presence of God. That's what he's promised every one of us as believers. So it doesn't matter if you get saved at 6, if you get saved at 60. It doesn't matter if you were one that was saved back in biblical times or you're saved 20 years from now or the day before Jesus returns. We all get heaven, don't we? And it's way more than we deserve. None of us deserve heaven. We can't do anything about it. All we're doing is standing around in the marketplace going, boy, I wish something good would happen. But I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons I titled this Worker is the fact is that when we are called, we don't just get salvation and hang out in the marketplace, do we? We're supposed to work. We're supposed to be on mission for Jesus. We're supposed to be doing what he did, what the apostles did. We are supposed to be laborers in the field of this world, just like he was. Now, there's a couple attitudes I want us to look at here. The first one is the attitude of the believer, and that is to serve in humility. To bring as many as we can with us to the finish line because we all cross together. I tried to get this video. Maybe y'all have seen it on some commercials. It's the passiton.org, I think. Is it? I don't know who they are or what their theology or philosophies, but some of their commercials are cute as all get out. And they have one that's just this amazing commercial. It's a bunch of special needs kids at a race. The gun sounds is how it starts, and we couldn't get it to work. I couldn't get it to work, so I'm going to mentally image it here for you. All right. The gun starts. They start running around the track. All of a sudden, one kid comes around the corner. You just see him fall down. Boop. I mean, he's flat out on the ground, laying there on the track. Been there, done that. One of the other kids that was running stops, looks back at him, comes back, helps him get up. And then all of a sudden, the commercial ends with every one of them in the race, arm in arm, running through the finish line together. See, I think that's a picture of what it's like for us as believers. Because there's only one way for the first person to be last and the last person to be first, and that's if you cross at the same time. See, it's not really a flipping, all right? It doesn't take the fact that I got there first. It's not like if I got saved 150 years ago, I have to wait for the new guy to get done. We all get the same reward. Now, if you look at the second part of the verses we talk about, and it's kind of funny because Jesus just told this parable, and then just like every other human, what you find in the middle is you have a couple disciples going, can we sit on the right and the left of you, which are positions of honor? Can we sit next to you? We want to be important. We want to sit with you on your throne. Can we sit next to you? Jesus tells them, you don't even know what I'm about to go through. And you want to be like me? We can do it. He says, all right, and you will. And they were. They were martyred, much in the same way as what Jesus was. But he told them, it's not mine to give. And he says, you know what? Those among you, if you want to be great, if you want to be great in this world, if you want to be known by people, I don't love going to funerals. Funerals are always interesting, especially for believers. One, because they are sad events, but they're never just completely sad events. A lot of times you remember a person's life. And some of the greatest comments that you hear are, I remember how this person used to do this with me. This person would take the time and stop and talk with me. You know, different things like that. If you want to be a great person, if you want to be a great person in the church, if you want to be a great person in the world, serve people. Serve them. And I don't care. And you could be in a leadership position and still be a servant, can't you? Because it's all about the attitude. It's all about how we are. And that's what Jesus says. He says, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever wants to be first needs to be the slave. Jesus gave up his glory. He set aside his glory so he could come to earth as a human. put on this old tattered flesh, walk in our mess and muck with us. He came to serve us. He was a king. He is God. That wasn't the way he should have been received. He should have been received with a parade. Everyone in the world should have bowed down at the feet of Jesus. Instead, they laughed at him. They called him names. And he served them because he gave his life up for them on the cross. We're to serve in humility. And this again, this okay, maybe I'll be a little judgy. There's a certain religious system that believes that only like 144,000 people get into heaven. You know what that creates? Well, if there's only 144, I want to be one of them. You know what I'm doing to my fellow believers? I'm trying to trip them up so I get to go first. But then wouldn't that prevent me from going? Ooh, that's a quandary, isn't it? How do you ever get there? See, that's the beauty with Christianity. We're not in a race. You can't fill up heaven. Our heaven, the God we serve is infinite. You can't outdo him. You can't outlove him. You can't take up all the space that he has for us. Our job is to reach and bring as many people with us as we can. It's not going to hurt our standing at all. If anything, it'll probably help our standing, won't it? I know in the military they have, you get like the fruit salad on your chest for different things you do. You got the stripes on your arm for all the years you've been in service. Wouldn't it be cool if we got to heaven and it was something like that? All the people whose lives you've touched, you get like a little. There's an old song called Thank You by Ray Bolts, an old Christian artist, and that's kind of how that song takes off. He walks into heaven and people start coming up and going, thank you. And see, there's so many people you wind up touching, you don't even know that you did it. Whether it's giving an offering one day that goes to a mission that saved people in China, you come up, people in Africa come up and to you when you get to heaven and go, thank you. And you're like, I don't even know you. But you gave to that missionary and I got saved. Cool. Our job, bring as many as we can. We're not going to lose the race. We're still crossing the finish line. Now, again, I can't be 100% sure how. We know that heaven is heaven. We know that the heaven we have right now is a temporary thing, that there's a more permanent solution after Jesus returns. And I'm not talking, I don't believe in soul sleep. I don't believe it's one of those things where you close your eyes now and you wake up about the time Jesus returns and we're all in heaven together. That's not what I'm believing. I mean, Scripture tells us if you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. Jesus looked at the thief on the cross, and today you'll be with me in paradise. I believe when you die, you're right there with God. Amen? But the full reward, the full glory, that full final finish line, because this isn't the end yet. Once we cross that final finish line, after all the judgments are done, and we get to this revelation, the last chapter in the book, there's this new heaven, this new earth. Once we cross that line, we're all crossing together. The second attitude is this, is the attitude of God. He will keep calling people to come to him until the end. And he seeks them out where they are. Isn't that awesome? God went back hour after hour to the marketplace. In this story, the landowner went back to find more people to work. Did he necessarily need more people? I don't know. I've never even had a garden grow up enough for me to harvest, let alone have enough harvest that I need to hire people to do it. You would think business-wise, a good businessman would just hire one set of people and have them work as hard as they can for as long as they can. But instead, this guy wanted to give more and more to all the people. And he had enough work for everybody to do, didn't he? And to get the job done. And so, again, it's not like they got to noon and go, well, I guess nobody's coming to hire us today. you know, I wonder if we should go wander around and see if anybody needs some help. They just sit there. And see, this is what God does. God seeks us out. God draws us to Him. And He keeps calling to the end. Our first point this morning was, it's never too late to join the work, is it? God will continue to call the lost. God continues to call us to do the work, to reach out to those. I think even to the point where if you're at the hospital, the doctor comes in and is telling you you've got terminal cancer and you're going to be gone in a couple of weeks. Well, you've got a timeline. But until that last day in a couple of weeks and you close your eyes, guess what? You're still working. Everybody that comes in out of that room, everybody that comes to draw blood, that wakes you up in the middle of the night to give you a sleeping pill, you should drive me nuts at the hospital. Wake up, it's time for a sleeping pill. I was sleeping. Doctors don't make sense sometimes, do they? But the whole time, it doesn't matter. Your own mission. I look at Jesus on the cross. Why did Jesus go to the cross on that day? Because He had an evangelistic meeting He had to get to, didn't He? There was one more person that He had to save right then and there. If He'd have waited another day, that guy would have been in hell. You know that? If Jesus had went the day before, there was a guy that would have wound up in hell because Jesus wasn't there. Jesus' timing's always perfect in our lives. So the prayer this morning is, are you ready to serve in humility? Are you ready to work alongside with Jesus today? Because God's going to keep coming. God's not giving up until He's done. And as long as we're standing on this earth and He hasn't returned, we've still got a job to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray that we just have the, help us to have that attitude, that humility to do the work. God, forgive us when we're like those that got to the party early. Seem a little mad when those that are coming late get the same benefits that we do. God, help us to flip that to where we just celebrate that someone has come to help. That somebody's joined along with us. Even if it's just for a little while. God, if there's anyone here or anyone online that doesn't know You, God, I know You're calling them. You're saying, come, work. Here's my reward. And God, we thank You. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve the blood of Jesus Christ, but You sent Him to die for our sins. We don't deserve forgiveness, but You offer it freely. You've given us salvation if we only choose to accept it and hold on. God, we thank You. And Jesus, we love You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Come on, Thomas.